Good to have you here this morning in the house of the Lord, ready to worship and give God the praise. We had a great time of worship last night. All right, 494. I'm preaching on the river this morning. So, preaching on the river. Go down the river. Does that remind you of another song? Reminds me of lots of songs. So here's an old hymn. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Amen. You can, why don't you stand to your feet this morning? 494. We'll get started that way. Might help you sing. Might not. Doesn't matter. We're going to sing. Are you in? Stayed upon Jehovah.
Hearts are fully blessed. This song I heard a little while ago on the radio, and when I first heard it, I went, I've heard that before. And then I searched it up, and no, it was a pretty new song. So it was the words, I think, that I'd heard before, and they really spoke into my heart. As we are still in the month of January, still kind of preparing our hearts for this year, and it has just been striking me a lot the last few weeks of this month, that I just need to put my trust in the Lord. I need to trust the promises that He has for each one of us, and there's a line in this song that says, all your promises are yes and amen. Amen.
That's the Word of God. Amen. I want to preach on the river. I've been doing a series on Isaiah 43. And we'll see how this interacts with the testimony that my wife has shared with us today. I was in the bed there with her. I mean, she was flying. She was... And her body was still there, but she was gone. She was in the atmosphere. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says this, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you even be aware of it? I will make roadways in the wilderness, and I shall make rivers in the desert places." Father, we ask, O Lord, today that you would reveal, Lord, by your Spirit, what it is that you want exactly for your church to know and understand, and prepare us, Lord, for your coming. Prepare us, Father God, for the days, the weeks, the years, or the moments between now and then. Lord, continue to reign in us, and Lord, I do believe that in preparation for your coming, you will bring revival in desert places. But Father God, we pray that we would always yield to your Holy Spirit in teaching us these things, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. With our high-tech ability now, with our new server, I am able to show off of the great World Wide Web a video of river happening in the desert. In this video, you'll see the water coming, and it is in Israel. It is in the Negev Desert. Go ahead if you can play it. It is a riverbed that has been barren for decades. There has been no water in this desert. And then all of a sudden, from up in the mountains, there was rain several miles away, and people gathered because they had some not in their lifetime had ever seen water in the Israeli desert in this particular place. And as it flowed through the desert, they were excited and they rejoiced and they celebrated as this water flowed. Imagine this. This is a literal taking place of a river coming in the desert that had been there before, but not for decades. You can see where the river had been, obviously. You can see that it flowed in a pattern that had been in the past. Some in Israel believed that this was, in 2010, a fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 43, that this river coming in the desert was a fulfillment, literally, of this text of Scripture. But what I believe more so is that there is a spiritual message here in Isaiah chapter 43, that this illustration speaks directly into our spiritual life, as well as into the spiritual life of the church, the spiritual life of our community, the spiritual life of our nation. Can this take place in the most parched and desert places? Can the rain come? Can the river flow again? Can we experience the renewal and life like happened here in Israel in the desert only a couple of years ago? Thank you. What kind of life is this? What kind of life does the river bring? Well, the first one I have is resurrection life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, it says this. It says if he says something to this effect, that if he who is in you that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells, if that same Spirit dwells in you that raised Jesus up, then he can quicken your mortal bodies. He can do amazing things. He can do resurrection things inside of you. It is amazing to watch how that when it does rain in the desert places, how that seeds that have been there stored so long ago spring to life. How that the most arid places that seem to be void of any moisture and really are void of moisture, that when some does come, flowers, grass, beauty comes in the desert. Things germinate that have long been dead. They spring to life. And I would say prophetically that prayers that have been prayed have not gone astray. Prayers that have been prayed over this church, over your family, over this community. Prayers that have been loaded up in the bowls of God before the altar of the Lord have not gone to waste. But when the Lord pours out His Spirit, seeds will come to life. Things will take place in the desert places. This is the will of the Lord. This is the new things that God desires to do. He wants to make a river in the desert. All it takes is a move of His Holy Spirit. And things that appear to be dead with the natural eyes become teeming with life. I understand and I realize that it seems like this is a wasteland here in Eastern Ontario. It's a dry spot. You put the plow in the ground and it's hard ground. It's been a long time since a river flowed. But if you will look closely at this community and if you will look closely at this region, you will find places, you will find archaeologically if you look, or geologically I should say, if you look, you will see where rivers had flowed. You will look at the river beds. You will see where the water has gushed forth before, how it has carved its way through the rocks, how that the markings are there, how that there are churches. Now some are closed. Some turned into homes and businesses. Some are still open, but there's nothing really taking place. But these are all signs of a river that once flowed in this place. Oftentimes, people will build things on a flood plain, on an ancient flood plain. And I would say that Eastern Ontario and Ottawa Valley is an ancient flood plain. When it flows again, you'll know it. Where the waters of revival once flowed, look closely. You'll see the scars. You know, the rock has to give way to the water. The hardness gives way to the water. If you read the archives of past revivals, they are filled with stories of the streams that were flowing, choked with fish, and there was many a fisherman. Can they live again? Can they rise again? There are stories from nature which tell us just these very things, where dry places upon the earth became alive again. One is the top of the Red Rock, if you could just look at that, Red Rock in Australia. Not only is this rock in the desert, but this rock is at the very center of Australia. It's a very common picture of Australia for those that ever travel around. It's a common tourist destination. It is in the desert. In fact, not only is it in the desert, but at the very top of it is one of the hottest places in the desert, and therefore the hottest place in Australia. It's a place where the sun hits it at its extreme. And yet it's interesting that every now and then it does rain on the top of the rock in the middle of the desert. And there are pools that have been cut into the red rock that fill up with water. And what happens is that they get full of shrimp. Because there is a particular breed of shrimp that lays its eggs, and those eggs can stay stagnant for decades, waiting for the water to come. Now they have to get at it because it's by nature these pools dry up very quickly, and so what they have to do is they have to hatch and match and dispatch pretty quickly, you know. They have to have their babies, have their eggs, and go through their life cycle before the water dries up again. But there's still life there. I asked this question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, actually, God asked that question. He said of this, of the prophet, he said, is there anything too hard for me? Ezekiel was the prophet that we have mentioned Ezekiel earlier today. He was the prophet that God showed the valley of the dry bones. a whole valley full of dry bones, representing the people of God. And he asked this question of the prophet. He said, can these bones live? Speaking of his people, speaking of those of the house of Jacob, those of the covenant whose people we are. In Ezekiel 37, verse 4, he said this. He says, God said to the man of God, to the prophet, he said, prophesy to these bones and say unto these bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Isn't that dumb sounding? Having somebody looking at a dry valley of bones and God says, you speak to these bones, speak to the dryness, speak to the death, speak to the aridness, speak to there that has no life and no sinew and no corpuscles of blood, and you speak to that and prophesy to that and say to that. And he goes on in Isaiah chapter 37, we don't have time this morning to go through it, but he speaks to it and it happens. The dry bones become flesh and sinew comes upon the bones and wonderful things happen in this place. This is what God wants to do. May God raise up intercessors who are not afraid to prophesy to dry places, to prophesy to dry bones. Our tendency in the body of Christ, especially in those of more charismatic leanings, is we run to the place where there's water. We're always on the run. We're always looking for a revival somewhere. And God says, oh God, bring up intercessors that will speak to a valley, be it the Ottawa Valley or the St. Lawrence Valley, and speak to those dry bones and those arid places and prophesy to them. Lord, raise up intercessors that will do just this, that will speak to the church, that will speak to the community, that will speak revival, that will speak life, that will speak light, that will speak healing, that will speak deliverance into those things which are dead looking in the natural. Resurrection life. You may have given up and many others have given up, but maybe God just hasn't given up again and just yet. That's what new thing he wants to do. He wants to bring resurrection life with the river. The second thing he wants to do is transformation life. This year you'll need to, we want to look again at transformation in desert places. What is transformation? As I went back, thankfully having more time because of spreading this sermon out for three Sundays, I was able to go back into the Hebrew and take the time to look at that word transformation in the Hebrew and how it means to take something and to make it something different. To transform it, to take it and so it no longer even resembles what it was before, but to turn it into something absolutely different. Jesus was not only raised from the dead, friends, but he was given a transformed body, which is the future of all of us, by the way. It demonstrates that God's will and God's ability is not just to raise things from the dead, but God's will and ability is to transform things so that they look totally different. Because they are new. And here's what the Spirit spoke unto me to say to you. The greater the desert, the greater the transformation. The greater the desert, the greater the transformation. The driest, driest place that has absolutely nothing kicking except dust and scorpions. When the water comes there, it has the greatest transformation. Amen? Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? God can make something flow there that will transform it, even if there has been no water there before, even if there's not a riverbed. You see, the resurrection part, that's flowing in the old riverbed. Amen? That's the picture that we saw earlier. You know, that thing that had not flowed for so long started to flow again, and people got excited. Yes, the community got excited because they were rejoicing that that river flowed again. I believe that people will rejoice when the river flows again. But there's also the transforming power of where there has been no water, there has never been any water. Can you imagine, can you prophesy, can you speak into a place where there has never been a flow of the Spirit and see God move? This is the new things that God wants to do. Can you imagine it? Can you speak it? As we have a man coming on Wednesday and his wife who used to be Islamic, used to be Muslims. Can you speak into the Muslim community in this nation and see a river flow? Never been a river in that community. Never been a flow of the Holy Spirit there. Can you see Ishmael coming to God? Can you that are in some of you are in university and other things, can you prophesy into the halls of academia of this land that is so full of atheists and liberals that are so full of those that are contrary to the Word of God and have such animosity to the Church of Jesus Christ? Can you speak into those halls and see a river flowing through the academics? And that can you prophesy to those dry bones? Or is that just too big for God? He says, is there anything too hard for me? He says, can these dry bones live? Some of these universities, most of them, almost all of them, started by churches in this great land of ours. Can you prophesy into that dry? What about a family that, you know, people would make fun of because of their so rough background and they have no God and no they haven't been in any kind of church and have no religious moorings whatsoever. They have no spark in them whatsoever. They can't there's no concept. There's no concept of God. There's nothing in their heritage that has come down to them that even irks of the moral fiber that we know that was the foundation of our nation as Christians. But can you look at that family and can you see the Spirit of God flowing in them? Oh God, raise up those to prophesy to the dry bones. God wants to do a new thing. He wants to let the river flow in the desert, but Lord, raise up those of faith who can believe, who can see, who can have a vision for it to take place, and Lord, let us prophesy into those places. Transform them. The last thing I want to say, when the river comes, it often comes as a flash flood. I said earlier and made allusion to this fact that mankind builds oftentimes in the old floodplains, whether it's the Mississippi Valley, and I don't mean the one that runs through Lanark, I mean the one in the States, the big one. You know, and people build, and they build, and they build, and they build, and then every, 50, 60, 100 years, the waters rise as it had over the millennium, and it takes over the land that it had conquered before, and everyone is surprised, and everyone's flooded out, and or whether it is some place, in the Nevada hills or wherever. And there's many illustrations I could give. I don't have time to give them this morning where man has went and man has built his human structures right in the way of the flood. Right in the way where old riverbeds used to flow. And when it comes, and it does come once every 50 years or whenever it happens, where nature reclaims that land and says, that was mine in the first place. You built on it, but I'm taking it back. And it rushes through and it tears out all of man's structures. And we are sorely surprised. But when the rain finally comes, the pathway the water takes is the same course that it did in ancient times. And tears down all of our stuff. And you know what? That's a good thing. Because would you rather have the river? Or would you rather have the man-made stuff? You see, we've invested an awful lot into the man-made stuff. We have invested so much into the man-made religion and the man-made Christianity and the man-made structure that we actually don't want the river to flow anymore because it will rip out everything that we have spent so much time and money erecting. You see, we build it on the floodplain because we know there used to be water here and we talk about it and we pray about it, but if it actually comes, it might actually rip everything out. It might tear down a lot of stuff that we have put money into. And it scares preachers like me. But I'd rather have the river. I like swimming. I'd rather have the river. Come the end of the day, this is where, what kind of preacher do you keep and what kind do you get? The one that really would rather have the river than the whole stuff. Keep that one. one illustration, Pastor Masamoto Haiga. Pastor Masamoto Haiga is the pastor of a Japanese megachurch. He has 25 members. Actually, he has 25 with kids and everything. That is a Japanese megachurch, by the way, because the gospel is 0.04. That's the amount of evangelicals in Japan. And Pastor Haiga, pastor of this large, 25 person church in the village or the town of Tagasaki, Japan. There was one other evangelical church. It's a really blessed town. I tell you what, it had two Bible-believing churches. And the other one across town was another Japanese megachurch. It had about 25 people. But Brother Haiga is a charismatic and an Arminian. And the other brother, it was called Seaway Bible Chapel, was our Calvinist and cessationist and a few other things. And you know, and you have your little band of Christians over here, and you had your little band of Christians over there, and they never did anything together, and they never had fellowship with each other. Here they are, this small group of believers in a nation full of Buddhists and secularists, and they had nothing to do with each other. Couldn't do anything with each other. Couldn't come together for a revival. Couldn't have a speaker. You know, 25 people, half of them kids, it's hard to hire an evangelist to come. When you have another 25, it's hard to have a VBS program. It's hard to do anything. Put 50 together, you can get an evangelist. You can do stuff. But they weren't able to do anything together because of their different beliefs. Pastor Haiga, Pastor Masamoto, felt God calling him to fast for revival for his town and revival for the nation of Japan. On the 11th day of his fast, in the middle of the afternoon, an earthquake, as you well know, of 9 on the Richter scale took place off of the coast of Japan, and in 9 minutes, there was no Takasaki, Japan. 9 minutes. They managed to get out of town. They managed to get beyond, get up on roofs. The whole houses were taken away. Both churches were washed away. All that was left of one church, the cross on the side of the building. That's it. The waters came and washed away all of their hymn books and washed away all of their baptismal tanks and washed away their altar rails and washed away everything except the cross. Oh, glory. That's prophecy right there. And that's what the Spirit of God does, friends. When a renewal comes, when the Spirit of God comes with power, it'll take away everything except the cross. Everything except the gospel, which is centered on the cross. It'll take away the false teachers. It'll take away the fancy this and the fancy that, and even the prophetic things that we so long in charismatic circles to endure. It'll take away these kind of things and that kind of things, and it'll leave the cross of Christ, the simple and glorious gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That next Sunday, the Christians gathered from both churches and gathered under the only thing that was left standing, the cross. The charismatics and the evangelicals, the Baptists and the Pentecostals, they gathered together under the cross, and they had the first combined service of believers that Takasaki, Japan had ever experienced. They repented, they sought forgiveness, and they decided together that not only would they rebuild the church in Takasaki, but that in every single town and village, 86 towns, that they would believe God to start a church in all those 85 towns that have no gospel witness. On that day, the participants proclaimed three simple things. They said this, and they wrote it on a piece of wood. But they took a piece of driftwood or a piece of wood and they wrote on it these three things and attached it to the cross. Number one, we believe in revival, in the revival in this place. We believe for revival in this place. They came together as believers and said, we believe in revival in this place. Number two, we believe a special hope in this place. Faith. And number three, we love this place. That's what it looks like. They put it in it and wrote it on a piece of wood, as I said, and they attached it to that cross. Pastor Higgins said this. He said, in a few minutes our town was turned into a desert, but God has this thing of making a river flow in a desert. Friends, I want to ask you at the closing of this service, and I know we went over time this morning, but please bear with me. Could you believe God for these three things? We have not experienced a tsunami. We have not experienced the devastation of these things. We should not fear those kind of things, but because God has a way of when He tears things down, He often builds fresh and new. New rivers may mean that He has to wash out man's stuff. It may mean that He brings back on the old ancient trails life that has long been lost, like our holiness revival of the Ottawa Valley. But could you believe these three things? That revival can take place here? Can you believe a special hope for this place? Now, here's the hard one. Because if you have experienced desert, if you have experienced dryness, if you have been bit by the scorpions in this desert here in Eastern Ontario, you may have a hard time saying, I love this place. But you need to love it if it's going to flow. I'd like to bring us to a little commitment here today. I know it's translated from the Japanese to English, but could you repeat these things after me? Number one, we believe in the revival of this place. Number two, we believe a special hope in this place. And number three, we love this place. Now, if you felt a resistance in your soul, if you felt something fighting back, when you said we love this place, if you felt something fighting back when it talked about hope, that means you need faith. If you felt something fighting back in revival, it means that you're scared of the river. I just would like a few to come and join with me in prayer as our sister sings. And maybe you would like to make a commitment today just that you're going to believe God for revival in this place, that you're going to believe God for hope, or you're going to believe God that you love Eastern Ontario, Dundas County, Ottawa region, whatever it is that the Lord is speaking into your heart saying, you don't really love the place. How are you going to see revival? Because all you look at is desert and you want to run to where there's an oasis. Father, Lord, as we look to this, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us today. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us today. Amen. God bless you. If you would like to join with me in prayer up here at the front, I'm just going to invite you to come. Can I get a few folks to come and agree with me today for this place? Agree with me that God would move. You've heard the testimony that God has moved. I'm not going to make you do anything. Could you just agree to stand in the gap? Stand here and pray. And that way that if you have to go, if you have other things to do and you need to get going, then God bless you as you go today. We're going to sing something. We're going to focus on this thing here today. We're going to focus on this if you're still here. We're going to focus on prayer. We're going to focus on standing in the gap. We're going to focus on letting the Spirit of God flow once again on this ancient place. Let the Spirit of God flow where it used to flow and let it flow where it has never flown before. Spirit of the living God, flow in this place. Spirit of God, flow over these families that are represented here. Spirit of God, flow in a powerful way. Spirit of God, you can do it. Lord, we believe in revival in this place. We believe, Lord, in a special hope for this place. Lord, we believe, Lord God, that we love this place, Father God. Lord, if we don't love it, Lord, then Father God, we pray that as the Spirit of God says, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, that love cometh down by the Holy Spirit. Then, Lord, we pray that if we don't love this place, then, Lord God, we pray because we've been hurt in this place, because we've been wounded in this place, because we've been rejected in this place, because we've been, they've tried to drive us out of this place in some situations, in some families. But, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come and give us a love for this place. Give us a love for this church. There may be some in this place today that wouldn't invite anybody to this church because they don't love it enough. Lord, I pray, God, give us a love for this church. Give us a love for these people. Give us a love for this Eastern Ontario. Give us a love for this Ottawa Valley. Give us a love for, oh God, that we can see you work and move amongst us, oh God, we pray. Lord, as it was prophesied, Lord, change our perspective, Lord God, that we might see it, Father God. Change our perspective, oh God, if we have a faulty way of looking. Lord, if our way of looking is skewed, if our way of looking needs an adjustment, then Lord, we stand in this place and pray, God, Lord, change our view. Lord, if there is something that man has built that stands in the way of God's Holy Spirit, and we love it more than we love the Spirit, then Lord, we pray, take the love out of us for those things that we have misappropriated. Our love. Father God, we just pray in Jesus' name. Grant us that love, Lord. You're coming, O God. Lord, prepare your church, Lord. As a spotless bride, as a wonderful, clean, and holy people, as a people whose wicks are trimmed and oil is filled. Lord God, prepare us for whatever you have for us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name.